Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome to another episode of Missing Frames. This is the podcast where we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. Joining me, my wife, Sarah Eastridge. Back on the show again.
Back at it.
Good to have you back. And we're going to be watching Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Now, audience, who do you think hasn't seen this movie? We'll pause for you to answer. I assume everyone said Sarah.
They are correct.
Which, does that make me sound like a jerk to assume that everyone would think that my wife and not me is the
ignorant one in this
case? Yeah, I want
to unpack this real quick. Why do you think that that's an obvious statement?
Well, let's ask the audience. Audience, why do you think that's an obvious statement?
Oh, really?
Interesting. Very interesting. You know, that's exactly, it's kind of what I thought it would be, but not exactly. But no, I don't know. I actually think this could have gone either way. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is not a movie I feel like either you or myself has hinted at seeing before, or whether or not we actually enjoyed it. But this is a movie you have not seen.
Right.
And this is one of, I think, one of the best movies of all time. I love this movie. It's one of my absolute favorites. So, of course, I've been trying to get you to watch it for quite some time now.
Oh, yeah. I feel like when we got the special Blu-ray, or was it an anniversary edition or something like that?
At least 3 years ago.
For
those of you
who
don't know, we buy movies and then sometimes we sell them without opening them. We actually just went to our local bookstore, Half Price Books, and sold a whole bunch of unopened Blu-rays that we have not watched since we bought them.
We like to waste money.
We do. Who Framed Roger Rabbit was not one of those Blu-rays, but it is one that we've bought and we have not used since we've bought it.
Yeah, it is sealed.
Yes. And like I said, I adore this movie. So this was, I think it came out in 1988. And one of the big things about it is it's directed by Robert Zemeckis. Can you tell me?
Superman. Nope.
So close. So close.
That was such an instant reaction.
We were trying to pick if we wanted to do this or The Goonies, which is another movie Sarah hasn't seen, which we will be doing. If we had been doing The Goonies, you would have been absolutely right. Richard Donner directed The Goonies. He also directed Superman. No, Robert Zemeckis directed Back to the Future.
Oh.
He directed Gladiator. No, he didn't. Why did I say that?
Because I threw you off with the Superman.
I don't know why I said that. I know he didn't.
Gladiator.
I was thinking Best Picture winner, which is Gladiator, but no, the Best Picture winner that he directed was Forrest Gump.
But he also did this movie.
He did Romancing the Stone, which is a movie I haven't seen, which I would really love to see.
It's so sweet.
And then Why Am I Blinking? I feel like he's done some, like, there are a couple others.
Well, Superman the movie,
Gladiator, all his best. You know, he did all three of the Back to the Future films. He did Castaway, that's right. He did that. And then he started doing the animated movies.
He did Gothica?
No, he didn't direct that.
Oh.
We're looking at the list now.
Wrong list.
No, he didn't direct that. Okay, The Walk. Remember The Walk? I feel like it's a movie I totally forgot about with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, it was a little.
He was great in that, and he was great in Gladiator and Superman the movie. but he started doing like animated movies where he would just do mocap, like Beowulf and Polar Express.
Gotcha.
Which I haven't seen Polar Express. Some people really like it. Beowulf, I thought was garbage.
I like Polar Express.
The point I'm trying to make is that Robert Zemeckis is one of the great filmmakers of all time. And I would go so far as to say Who Framed Roger Rabbit is, like, if I were to rank his movies, I would do Back to the Future, and I'd put Who Framed Roger Rabbit above Forrest Gump, frankly. I know. Forrest Gump,
I would put Castaway over Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting to a point where we're allowed to say Forrest Gump is not a great movie.
Well, I like it, but I just, like, I mean, have you guys watched Castaway lately? Like, get the tissues. I don't know. I just think it's so good.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Robert Zemeckis. So this is right after he'd done Back to the Future. So 88, Back to the Future was 85. So this is a few years later. And one of the huge things about this is this was a major breakthrough for like hand-drawn animation with being integrated with live action.
Right.
I don't know. There are movies that have done it since. I know there are, but I can't think. The only thing I can think of is Space Jam, which is not a great example of any kind.
I feel like there's a lot of movies that have parts of it. Like 500 Days of Summer, they kind of did something like that.
Tiny bit.
Yeah.
But not like a whole movie. Yeah, this was very much, it's weird. It's an effects-driven movie.
Yeah.
But the effects are just the fact that they combined hand-drawn animation with live action. But it is such a, it's one of those things I never thought of it as a kid. And even growing up and watching it, I never think of it as innovative as much as I think of, like, this is such a brilliant movie because it's such great storytelling. It's so wonderful and entertaining and everything is so delightful that you don't quite realize how innovative it is until you start watching the behind the scenes stuff and seeing how much work went into this. And watching it from that mindset, it's like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Like, how do you even coordinate something like this? Because the timing, the way the furniture and things around the room shake or interact with the characters that aren't even there. I don't know the logistics and how headache-inducing it must have been to set something like this up. But it's a huge accomplishment. And then Bob Hoskins is in it. And Bob Hoskins has been in a ton of stuff. But I feel like I remember him most from this movie. And Bob Hoskins passed away, I think, in the past couple years. And Rest in Pictures podcast, which is done by Aaron Prescott and Brad Gullickson, which is absolutely fantastic. You should check it out. They did an episode dedicated to Bob Hoskins recently. I'm sure they talked about this movie as well. And everyone should check that out. You should also check out the Nerd Party. And we do a ton of great stuff here on the Nerd Party. This is a podcast that's part of that. We have all kinds of podcasts, Star Trek, Star Wars movies, comic books. Is that true? Comic books? I don't know if we do that. Comic books, we talk about them all the time, though. There's everything you could possibly want. Go to thenerdparty.com and check everything out. And you can also follow the Nerd Party at Join Nerd Party on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, just the Nerd Party. And now that I've got all my plugs out there, I guess I should ask you, is there any reason you haven't seen this up to this point? Have you had any desire to see it? Is this on your radar at all?
It has not been on my radar. I don't know if I could even say if I had a desire or not, because it just hasn't really, I haven't had an opportunity to watch it. I haven't really known anything about it except, you know, I'm familiar with the cover art. So I always knew, I'm like, oh, it's, you know, there's some animation and stuff like that. The only thing I did know was about Jessica Rabbit.
Yes.
But the way, okay, we got to go backwards. The way I learned about Jessica Rabbit is because Heidi Klum dressed up as her for Halloween one year. And she does these amazing Halloween costumes. Like, she goes all out. So she was Jessica Rabbit, and I had to look it up. And I'm like, who is that?
Jessica Rabbit, I think, was the sexual awakening for many a young
I'm
lad,
sure.
Including
I mean,
myself.
That red dress and the, yeah, that big bosom.
Her and Dr. Chase Meridian from Batman Forever, portrayed by Nicole Kidman.
Oh.
I think that combination. I saw both these movies,
that's
I think,
childhood.
Right around the same time. And I think it was like, what is this new, you know, what is, there's a whole new world out there.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't remember the first time I saw this. I think I'd borrowed a VHS copy from a friend, but there was a period of time where I was just watching this on repeat. Like I really loved this movie, and it's one of those really wonderful movies that we've done a lot of great episodes on Missing Frames, if I do say so myself. But a lot of what we've done is we've gone back and revisited a lot of movies that people have loved as kids, that when you revisit them with somebody who can bring fresh eyes to the table, they're kind of like, you know, it doesn't hold up as well. This is a movie that I was so pleasantly surprised to find does hold up really well. And I really think it's one of the most innovative and fun and delightful films of all time. Definitely one of Zemeckis's best, but I think it's one of the best movies ever.
And it's a detective film?
Yeah.
Kind of? That's the only other tidbit I really know, where he's like a PI, maybe? And
who, Roger Rabbit? Or
sure. Okay. I don't know. I don't know who any of these people you're referring to are, except Jessica Rabbit.
So Roger Rabbit was a cartoon that existed, I believe.
Oh, okay. I really don't know anything about
So you
this.
Think he's a detective.
So I, okay, my perception. I think he is a PI and like he has to work with these animation animals to solve a crime.
Okay.
I also thought it was like G rated, like a silly little movie.
It's it's PG. So okay, it's not like PG, it's not a kid's movie, but I mean, it pretty much is a kind of, it's not so inappropriate that a kid couldn't enjoy it. I was watching it as a kid. Okay, so Roger Rabbit, no joke, I thought Roger Rabbit was an actual animated character who existed and that this movie kind of like was like, oh yeah, Roger Rabbit, he's let's reference that character because he's a well-known character. Turns out this movie is what there was a book called Who Censored Roger Rabbit by Gary K. Wolf. And that's what this movie is based off of. I have no idea what this book is about, though. That's fascinating.
It looks really creepy. Looking at the
cover. Oh, this is super creepy. Not at all what I think this movie is.
I wish we could show you the
go if you go to Wikipedia, just look at the first edition cover of Who Censored Roger Rabbit. It looks like a nightmare.
Yeah.
It says, yeah, a mystery. So I thought Roger Rabbit was a real character that existed outside of this and that they just.
Mind blown, Sean.
Wow. See, that's what I mean. As a kid, you don't think about these things, and I just accepted it. And now I don't know what to believe.
But now it's going to be like a whole new experience watching this movie.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch it again. It's been a long time since I've seen it, and I'm excited to watch it with you and to show it to you. Are you excited to watch it?
Yeah, it's one of those movies I've always wanted to see. I just kind of completely forget about it. I don't know.
Well, I think.
Do people talk about this movie a lot?
People don't talk about it as much as they should. I think the fact that I'm coming here and saying I think it's Zemeckis's runner-up best film and that Forrest Gump is neither his best film nor the runner-up. Those are fighting words. But I really think Who Framed Roger Rabbit is superb cinema.
Well, 1988, I was one, so I clearly missed it.
missed the train. Yeah, and for then sure.
If my parents weren't into it when I was a little older, I would never have watched this movie. So that's probably I missed the whole thing.
Well,
guys.
You know what? We're gonna change that. Yep. We are gonna go watch it right now, and all will be well with the world.
Perfect.
Now available to own on video cassette.
And we're back. Sarah, what did you think of Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
It was very fun.
Yeah.
It was very fun. I guess I didn't really know what to expect. And I also thought it would be more childlike than it was.
Yeah, it's very, it's more adult oriented without losing. Obviously, like we were saying, I saw this when I was a kid and I didn't pick up on a lot of the innuendos and more mature stuff. Uh-huh. But it's a movie kids can enjoy without too much. But it does get pretty intense at times.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I just thought, oh, animation in the 80s, it's got to be like super goofy. And I was really surprised at how good everything looked.
Like, yeah, that was the biggest thing. We watched it on Blu-ray, and you can start to see the seams, I think, especially because when you upgrade to something like Blu-ray, it looked like some of the lighting looked a little weird to me, and I think it was just the process of including the animated cells on actual film, but it looks amazing, and the effect works so well, and it still holds up so well.
Yeah, I mean, I was blown away. I really thought it would look kind of tacky, truthfully, going in. I was like, this should be fun. And then I was like, wow, that looks really good. And it was very funny. I thought the humor might be a little, I don't know, just not for me. But I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. So were there any cameos that you saw in this movie that you weren't expecting? Because I didn't tell you anything. I didn't want you to know that, like, Mickey Mouse showed up and Donald Duck.
Well, first of all, I didn't realize this was partially Disney.
Yeah, because Touchstone Pictures was Disney. Like, they were the adult division of Disney. They made the live action movies and stuff.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh my god, it's Dumbo. Oh my gosh, it's Bambi. It's Snow White. It's this. It's that. And I thought
all your
so
favorite
cool.
characters.
All my favorite childhood movies.
Which one were you most surprised to see?
Doc.
Doc Brown. He's not an animated character. Although, yes, technically he ends up becoming an animated character. Mm. But did you? So you about an hour into the movie was like, just wait, is that Doc?
It took me an hour. Yeah, of Christopher. Staring at him and trying to place his, because okay, in this movie he's wearing like a big black trench coat and this huge like ridiculous top hat and these glasses, and I guess I just didn't put it together.
Yeah, so he is fantastic in this movie, and this was just a few years after Back to the Future, so it makes sense that Robert Zemeckis would use him again, and it's so funny. You don't realize, as a kid, he just looks very threatening and crazy, and then as an adult, just realizing how much work they did to make him look so artificial,
mm-hmm.
like his teeth and his face is very, like, pasty
plasticky.
Yep. And he's very stiff in his movements
and
emotions.
Shaved all that beautiful Doc hair.
I know. He has that little kind of doo-wop.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I love, I think Christopher Lloyd's wonderful in
he
this
was
movie.
So good.
He's one of my favorite villains. I still am terrified when at the end he reveals himself and he's like, when I killed your brother, I talked just like this. I think his eyes just creep me out.
He just goes straight into like total maniacal mode, and it's so good and so creepy, and if I was a kid I probably would have been terrified.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed watching this movie again and kind of picking up on everything. One of the biggest surprises again is that Roger Rabbit is not a real character. It was weird watching it now, realizing, as we did in the pre-episode, that Roger Rabbit was an invented character and that he only exists in this movie.
Yep.
And that was strange watching it now and thinking of that. Because to me, I watch it and I think, as a kid, I was always like, oh, Roger Rabbit was a classic character that everyone loved. And this was kind of a zany send-up of that character, just throwing him into a completely different environment. Watching it now and realizing they invented it, but it feels Roger Rabbit is such a like instantly lovable character, and it feels so like there's a history to his character. Like, and I think part of what makes it so brilliant is the opening, just having the cartoon sequence.
Yeah.
I think, I don't remember the first time I saw this movie, but I feel like I want to say like a family member, like a cousin, put it on, and I thought it was like, oh, it's just a cartoon. And then when it reveals like, oh, it's in the real world, I was like, wait, this is a movie? What is this? And it just completely blew my mind, because I was not expecting it to be anything other than just like a silly cartoon. But I think that planted in my brain this idea that Roger Rabbit existed somewhere out there, and that this movie was just a extension or an adaptation of that cartoon into like a fun live action detective movie.
Well, is the character used in other iterations?
No.
Later on?
No.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I want.
Like, does he become canon?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I want to look this up, because I think it was literally just the book who yeah. censored Roger Rabbit, which I want to look at the plot of this and see.
And is like Jessica Rabbit in that as well?
Yeah. So Roger's widow, Jessica Rabbit. So
widow.
Just, I guess in the book, Roger Rabbit is murdered.
Like
the
right
rabbit
off the
hires
bat?
Valiant to find out why his employers have. Okay. And that's interesting. So Roger is murdered in the book who censored Roger Rabbit. I guess they decided that. Oh, no. Never mind. It's this is so weird. This is so different. So it turns out in the book that Roger Rabbit is the murderer. And it's very convoluted and all that stuff. I guess what they thought was, it's more fun to have like a zany character that live action people can interact with.
Yeah, I think that was a good move.
I think so too. I don't think this movie would have worked as well.
No.
Seems like the book
maybe
is actually
a little too dark.
Seems like the book has this like satirical elements, but it's much darker. This is also apparently the only time that, because one of the fun things about it is there's so many cartoon characters, and you have Disney, you have Warner Brothers, which is kind of shocking because those are such, it's like DC and Marvel. Like if Superman and Iron Man showed up in the same movie,
yeah.
I think it's the same kind of thing. This is apparently the only time on screen Warner Brothers and Disney cartoon characters appeared together.
That's so interesting.
Which is wonderful because you have a great scene with Donald Duck and Daffy Duck playing the pianos and their little rivalry there. And then you have Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny.
Yep.
Like it's I love
that
they
paired them off.
Yeah, well, I love that the movie has such a great story and it's so involving, but they find a way to pay off like little moments for fans. Which is great, like the moment with Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse being together and things like that. But did you have a favorite moment that, as far as a cartoon character that you weren't expecting to see, or a moment that you had no clue was going to be in this movie?
I don't know. I feel like this movie, I need to watch it again because so much happened. And it was like almost overwhelming because it's like I just kept getting distracted because I'm like, oh, it's that character. Ooh, it's that character. And I just was like totally flighty during this whole thing and like verbalizing and yelling at you. And, you know, I was just so distracted.
It's Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. Like an hour and 20 minutes in. I'm like,
I could not believe
Doc.
It took you that long. He has such a distinct voice. Like,
Marty,
we've got to
know.
Go back to the future.
Well, like if he had said that, I would have gotten
it. Yeah, you would have
known.
It's
no, I don't know. I mean, this movie totally hooked me from the opening scene, which was done so brilliantly, and the baby being an old man.
Oh, I know.
I know. Okay, so there you go. The baby being an old man. I think that I thought was one of the funniest things. He's like hitting on women and smacking their butts and smoking cigars and being like completely filthy. And I just thought that was hilarious.
Well, the movie, the humor works so well. It's so hysterically funny and it's constant, but not in an exhausting way. It's, I mean, it's, what impresses me most watching it now as I'm older is how really funny it is and how the jokes are, they're zany and they're slapstick and they're kind of what you would expect. They're perfectly kind of...
And they're kind of dirty. Like that whole patty cake thing, I was like, oh my gosh.
I was like, I wonder if Sarah knows what's happening here. And then the next scene where they're actually playing patty cake is so... It's such a...
I literally was like, I thought this was PG.
Yeah.
This is pretty raunchy for like an animated. And even though it wasn't what we thought it was, it's still pretty daring to put in a film.
And
it's like,
speaking of daring,
goodness.
Jessica Rabbit in general is
oh my god,
how did they fit this in a PG rated
film? I don't know.
There's so many.
She's fantastic.
There are even like erection jokes in this movie and things like that. Where this is 1988. So, PG-13 had only existed for a few years, but like this is still that period of time where PG could be.
It was such
PG-13.
A gray area.
Yeah.
Like you'd get the F-bomb, you'd see some nudity.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking of 16 Candles.
Really, this movie is not like John Hughes level of, oh, wow, I can't believe this wasn't rated R. This movie is like, watching it now and being older, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm picking up on a lot of this stuff that I didn't when I was a kid. But as a kid, it was just like fun and zany and great, and it works on so many levels. But what always impressed me the most, I just love the gag about like, I never understood it as a kid. I literally didn't. But when he says, you know, I want vodka on the rocks, and I mean ice, and they bring him some rocks in his glass. As a kid, I was like, I don't understand. Does he not like the ice?
Aww,
I don't get it.
Baby
but
Sean.
Now it all makes sense. But I think one of the most impressive things is, aside from being just technically absolute brilliance, like it's so innovative. I really don't think I mean, can you think of another movie that blends animation and like hand drawn, not like CG animation, because we see that all the time now,
right?
But like hand drawn animation and live action, like something that is, you know, when we see computer generated animation, it's supposed to be believable. You're supposed to be like, oh yes, this is just part of what I'm watching. It's part of this world. It's just a tool used to create something unbelievable. But this movie specifically is like, these are cartoon characters interacting with the real world. And I wonder if no one else has tried it, because it must have been an absolute nightmare to film it.
I don't know. I mean, you said Space Jam in the pre.
I think Space Jam was
probably it. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are some other ones, but maybe not as well known. I can't think of anything. Everything's CG.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm trying to like read like so the budget was. I think it was set modestly, like maybe like something like $20 million or something. And it looks like it just kept rocketing and rocketing. And really the only thing that kept it going was Spielberg. Like, Disney wanted to work with Spielberg, and he was the one who was championing. How do you say that word? Just you say it. People out there, just say championing out loud. Oh, well, it was easy that time. So maybe it's okay. Maybe I'm stupid. But it sounds, that doesn't surprise me in the slightest, because the movie is so technically complex. Like, and it's subtle. Like, I was watching it more this time with a technic, like just seeing how subtle it is. Like, little things like someone nudging a piece of furniture that happens to rock back and forth.
Yeah.
The moments where Jessica Rabbit is like singing and like, pulling Eddie's tie and all that stuff. I don't know how logistically you'd pull something like that off.
I think a lot of people were probably slamming their heads against a wall making this film. I can only imagine the frustration to get it that precise.
I have no doubt.
And like, how long was this in post, do you think? Do you think it took a long time?
Post-production lasted for 14 months. Post-production on big movies?
Yeah.
Maybe half a year.
Yeah, that's quite some time.
That's a long time. Post-production. Yeah. So, like, you know, with effects movies, I think the effects typically take place in post-production. But I feel like a lot of the time they're working on that prior to it. Like, they're building ships. They must be. I don't think this is something that they wait until the very end. I think they start on the animation and the effects beforehand. But then most of the work is done in post. Post-production, a film shoot will typically last 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
So 14 months.
That's crazy.
That's insane. And this is, so it says, the film was made before computer animation and digital compositing were widely used. All the animation was done using cells and optical compositing. So literally they used the actual frames from the film. They drew cells that they then overlaid on, like, hand-drawn, frame by frame.
Isn't that so cool, though? Because now we're in such a digital age, and you lose, like, a lot of the artistry. I mean, you still have artistry, but it's digital. You don't have, like, organic artistry like this.
Yeah,
like, I think that is so cool.
This is, like, not to be, like, whatever, like, oh, so old-fashioned. I think CGI artists are doing amazing work, but there's something beautiful about, like...
It's just natural.
Just something about this. Yeah, it's the amount of work that went into it, and... One of the other things that was tough, I'd imagine, is 2D characters in a 3D space.
Yeah, I don't even know.
That's where I think some of the seams start to show, is some of the camera pans and things. You can kind of see the weaknesses of the animation. But it still works, and you don't even want to hold it against them.
I bet if we watch this on VHS, it would look splendid.
Yes, I think,
because you don't get that crisp. Like, honestly, though, like the way it was released, I bet it looked even better in a strange way.
No, I think you're right. Seeing it on Blu-ray, I think almost diminishes the quality.
Yeah,
a little bit. I would like to go on like Blu-ray.com and see what they rated the video, because the video on this is good, but there are moments where the lighting looks a little weird. And there are a lot of times where I'm wondering, I'm like, how much of that was just because of the fact that they were doing this animation stuff on top of it, and they just had to light it a certain way where it just looks weird. But sometimes it just looks a little strange and off-putting. But for the most part, I think it looks amazing. Was there any sequence that particularly impressed you?
I thought the end was... awesome.
In Toontown?
Yeah.
Where he goes to Toontown? I love that
secret, like,
so much. Yeah,
like, I think that's probably my favorite.
That's one of my favorites. I think one of the best, one of the biggest moments where you realize, like, oh my gosh, this is just, I don't know how they pulled this off, is when he first finds Roger in his apartment, and they get handcuffed together, and he's being dragged all around. Roger's going under the desk. There's, you know, there's so many moments where, like, in the sink, he pushes him down in the sink, and then the water spouts out. The way, like, they use real objects and real things, like the weasel's guns were real for some reason.
Yeah, that was so interesting.
I wonder why they did that, because then Roger uses an animated gun later. I don't know what the motivation for
that
was.
Because I pointed that out, I think. I was like, oh, are those real? That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because they're bad guys, so they wanted it to feel dangerous. Yeah. And, like, you know, Roger Rabbit is a cartoon character, so he would have a cartoon gun that wouldn't hurt anybody. But it is really interesting. But I think the movie just works wonders.
Yeah,
and so,
I do too.
And it wouldn't be anything without the story, which the technical achievements you can marvel at and you can enjoy, but to me, what makes this movie so special is the story of Eddie Valiant and the kind of the little arc he goes on through the movie, where he's kind of just depressed and sad, and he's lost his brother, and he hates tunes, and he's forced to work with them. But watching him kind of come into his own, I think it's really touching.
It is, yeah. And the fact that he, at the end, he gets to avenge his brother's death, and you don't even know that's coming.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's just the cherry on
top.
Did that feel
forced to you, or did you like the way they brought that
in? I didn't know that was going to happen, so I was surprised. I was, like, shocked, but I was very surprised. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know now it's going to happen, but I love the way they kind of organically tease at it. Like, you know, they have this moment where he talks about, like, my brother was killed by this guy, and then all that. It's a... I was watching it now, and there's the skeptical side of me that's like, oh, that feels a little forced to have it be like, and by the way, it's the cartoon that killed your brother, too. But I think because I saw this so young, and it feels so organic to me, and I didn't see it with a judging eye, there's no disconnect for me where I'm like, oh, well, that feels like they kind of shoehorned that in. So that's why I'm asking. I wanted to see if it felt natural or if you were a little... like, oh, this feels weird.
No, I thought it was fine.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And I love his, because they hint at, you know, he and his brother were goofballs and they loved working with tunes, and he kind of lost that spirit, and he gets a whole little sequence at the end. But Bob Hoskins, aww, what a wonderful, wonderful actor.
I love him.
He's so good. And I know they had the voice of Roger Rabbit on set to act with him, like, live, and they had little... mannequins or whatever on set that they could interact with and kind of create the eye levels and everything. But this movie rests so heavily on the shoulders of its actors, and primarily Bob Hoskins, who's carrying the movie essentially with no one around, and he has to make you believe in that.
And he does.
And he does. And Hoskins, I don't know what he was like in real life, but he is so no-nonsense and so, like, gruff that... But he's so devoted to it. Like, I mean, he's so perfect. And you believe in the characters in the cartoon. You believe it's actually happening because he sells it so well.
I feel like his story arc was also his, like, real person arc. Like, yeah. At the end when he's doing, like, the little dance numbers and he's singing. And it's like, who is this man?
Right.
Like, you've emerged from your shell. Maybe that happened in real life, too.
Yeah. I think that it's completely possible. But it's funny that I just think without Bob Hoskins, and you look at a big effects movie, and you could look at Star Wars and things like that, where people are like, oh, yeah, the effects are great, the actors come second. But it's like, without the actors believing in it and making you care about it, you don't have anything. And I think he deserves so much credit for that. Apparently, when this movie was screened to its first test audience, it was like older teenagers, like 18, 19-year-olds, and they all hated it.
Oh, no.
So, and Robert Zemeckis was like, I'm not changing anything.
Oh, good for him.
And good for him, because the movie, I think, came out and was critically acclaimed, not just because of its innovation, but I think because it was just so delightful and so much fun. So this is, Roger Ebert gave it 4 out of 4 stars.
Okay.
And he says, this movie would carry the type of word of mouth money can't buy. It's a movie that's not only great entertainment, but also a breakthrough and craftsmanship, craftsmanship. I am having so much trouble saying things. I'm so sorry. But, like, I think he's right. It's the perfect mesh of effects and story to create something wholly unique. And I'm not surprised nobody has tried it since.
Oh, God, please don't reboot this movie, people.
Yeah,
leave it alone.
You know, part of me feels like I almost wish they'd done a sequel. In a weird way, I'm usually like, I don't want sequels, but this movie feels like it could have been.
They totally
fun.
Could have gone somewhere with it without it feeling overplayed.
Yeah. Did you know? So Bob Hoskins, his son saw it, and after he saw it, he said his son wouldn't talk to him for a couple weeks, and finally he said, like, why aren't you talking to me? And his son said, I can't believe you met Bugs Bunny and you didn't tell me. And he was so upset his dad didn't let him.
Oh my gosh,
be a part
that's
of that.
So precious.
Isn't that amazing? So this is, it's such a wonderful movie.
Now I want to call my parents and be like, why didn't you let me watch this movie?
Yeah, I can't. Like I said, I can't remember. I think I just borrowed it from a friend or something. Like someone lent it to me, and that's how I saw it. And yeah. I really enjoyed it.
It's a treasure, but, for sure.
But yeah, so do you have, what are your favorite moments in the movie? Do you have a favorite scene?
I don't know.
You don't know?
You already asked me this.
Did I?
You said the baby thing. And then the end,
the baby.
So I don't think I have
okay.
anything else.
Well,
can we cut that?
Yeah, we can cut that.
I don't have anything else.
I guess, you know, there's so many moments in this movie that are my favorites. I love the whole thing. I love watching it from a writing standpoint, just the way they organically fit in all the exposition at the beginning and how the information unfolds. It's such a delight to watch just from a sheer storytelling standpoint. But God, what are my favorite moments? I love the moment where he where they first interact in his apartment.
Yeah.
I think that's such a great scene. I love riding around in the taxi cab. That chase scene is great. And I love the scene with the judge when he comes into the bar and Roger is hiding out and the way he kind of coaxes him out and that whole sequence. But everything about this movie I adore.
I was surprised, in a pleasantly surprised. Even like when the judge kills the squeaky toy.
Oh, I know.
Like,
what
a
way to make you hate him right off the bat.
And I was not expecting to go into this movie and like be laughing really hard and then feel like complete sorrow over a little squeaky like speaker or whatever it was. And he kills it and it's just like the most excruciating, and they make you watch it.
Yes.
It's terrible. And I was just like almost, yeah, and I was almost crying and I'm like, what is this movie doing to me?
And what's great, well, just to bring it back to the storytelling, they tease all the little the hole in the wall, the hammer,
yes,
all those things come back,
yeah,
at the end. And I love that. I just love the singing sword, like all the stuff that he ends up using to fight the judge later on is planted there, kind of like a James Bond movie. We'll have the scene where it's like, here's Q, he's giving you all your gadgets,
mm-hmm,
and then later on the audience is like, oh, I know what he's gonna do in this situation. But they do it in a really great way in this movie. And I also really noticed Alan Silvestri's score this time around, because he also did Back to the Future, and there are a lot of music cues in this movie that sound very similar, which is not surprising since that was only a few years prior and probably maybe his biggest score up to that point. But that was something else I noticed watching now. That was a lot of fun.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'm a fan. I just thought this was great.
Is it better than Forrest Gump?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, you can write your hate mail.
So I feel, let me clarify, I feel like I could watch this movie 100 times. I can't keep watching Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Forrest Gump just
feels not that it's bad.
It's not a bad movie. It's just very cloying.
Yeah.
It's very like sentimental and like.
And
oh,
I've seen it so many times, yeah, and I'm just like, okay, cool. It's Forrest Gump. I don't know.
To me, Roger Rabbit is just so inventive and fun and zany, and you've got a great story. You've got great characters and just the inventiveness of it, to see like it really is like a new kind of cinema, which again was not really utilized much afterwards. Even with Michael Jordan in Space Jam, he's in the cartoon land for the most part. There isn't a lot of stuff where it's like cartoons interacting
real
life. So it's like this is one of the only movies, if not the only movie, where they did something like this. If I'm wrong, tell me, because I honestly just can't think of anything that's I'm not talking about CG animation. I'm talking about something where they were like, we're going to have 2D. Because I guess that's a hard concept to do. There was a movie with, I can't remember the name of it, but it was the guy from, I think, 90210. I have to look this up. I think it's called Cool Town. I think that's the only other movie. Let me see if that was the name of it. Cool World. That was it. And came out in 1992. So it's a total ripoff of, I have it pulled up on the computer. I don't know if you
can
come around and see this.
Or is
it? It's Brad Pitt. Not the guy from 90210.
That is different.
That is a different person. Brad Pitt. And it's called Cool World. It was a film. Yeah. Live action animated fantasy film by Ralph Bakshi. What did he do? I don't even I just remember seeing this in video stores, like at Blockbuster, and thinking to myself, oh, this is kind of like Roger Rabbit, but it's like, I guess, the mature version of it. Oh, he did. So this is the guy who did the Lord of the Rings animated movie.
Aww.
He went on to do this.
Those
but
are great.
There's an image. The poster is Brad Pitt with a woman who looks like Jessica Rabbit. She's just wearing a white dress, and she's even singing at a club. Like,
oh my gosh.
Or it looks like she's like walking into a club or something. Just very, very similar. So yeah, very interesting. But that's the only other example I can think of. Yeah, and so Roger Rabbit has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, and this movie has a 4%.
Four, just like 0.4.
Just to give you an idea of which one is the more appealing. But yeah. So you think that 97% is merited?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Okay.
I can't wait to like watch it with a kid one day.
Yeah,
that would be such
a
cool thing to share.
And then I guess so. On a scale of 1 to 5, do we want to say 1 to 5? I don't know. Squeaky shoes. 1 to 5.
Oh,
no, that's
too
so
sad. Too sad. Too sad.
1 to 5.
1 to 5. 1 to 5.
What are we? What are we gonna?
We're unraveling.
What's our rating scale? Oh God. How about we do bullets? Those goofy cowboy bullets. How many cowboy bullets would you give Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I would give it 4 cowboy bullets.
I think I would do the same.
Yeah,
we're
in agreement.
Yes,
look at
that.
We'll
do exactly that. But yeah, love this movie so much. It's so delightful, and it's one of my favorite Zemeckis movies. If you haven't checked it out in a while, I feel like this is one of those movies that a lot of people I know watched as a kid but might not have seen recently. It's so much fun, and especially from a film standpoint, if you're a film nerd or an animation nerd, just watching it and admiring the craft on display is lovely. But that's that. I think we've well covered it.
Yeah.
And so if you would like to find me on Twitter, yell at me for not being able to pronounce words, for not being able to come up with good rating systems. Find me at @YeSeanDoorman on Twitter. And Sarah, where can people find you should they so desire?
With Love Alone on Instagram or Twitter.
And if you really like this show, which I hope you do, you can give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. That helps us a lot. It gives us a little boost. So if you feel so inclined, I highly encourage it. And feel free to share this with your friends. Also, again, make sure you're following The Nerd Party at Join Nerd Party on Twitter and liking The Nerd Party Facebook page. And that is that. Thank you so much for listening. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for sharing it. This was fun.
Yeah.
This is great.
And we will see you all later.